This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, I'm Dave Denton. Zane and Juice will join me in just a little bit. We'll look back at some of the great things that occurred in the year 2016 in professional wrestling altogether. We'll be talking a little bit about what happened in the WWE. We'll talk about TNA, Lucha Underground, and some of the other things we have seen in the year 2016. Before we get into that, let's remember a WWE legend who passed away on January the 15th.
Super fly.
The world of professional wrestling has lost another one of its legendary performers. Jimmy Superfly Snuka died on January the 15th of 2017. His career started in the late 70s after a successful bodybuilding career. He wrestled from the late 70s until up the 2010s. The Superfly's career really took off when he joined the WWF in 1982. Started off as a heel, quickly became a fan favorite. But his most infamous moment came when Roddy Piper in Piper's Pit decided to crack a coconut on the Superfly's head.
Hey, what am I making fun of you? Whoa. No, sir.
One of the first wrestlers to ever use the top rope to springboard off of, the Superfly leap was astounding.
Super fly.
Not over. He's climbing the outside, going to the top turnbuckle for the Superfly leap. No, wait. He's climbing to the top of the steel cage. I don't believe it. Superfly perched 15 feet high.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka passed away January the 15th of 2017. The great Jimmy Superfly Snuka passed away January the 15th of 2017. Let's talk about something that happened at the very end of 2016 and the beginning of 2017. We're going to call this a promo of the week.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
We're going to have our very first 2017 promo of the week. It comes from Monday Night Raw, and it actually comes in two parts. First off was when Stephanie McMahon was opening up Raw, and the crowd in Chicago started chanting some guy that used to wrestle in the WWE named CM Punk. Listen to her retort. This is great.
So if you guys could keep that up for about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, you'd last 1 second longer than Punk did.
Later in the program, Stephanie McMahon was cornered by Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho about the upcoming Royal Rumble match. where Chris Jericho was going to be put into a shark tank, that this has got to be one of the greatest promos in the last, oh, say, 2 years.
We're here to make an official complaint against Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
See, at Roadblock, I beat Roman Reigns. But then this stupid idiot, thank you, Chris, this stupid idiot Mick Foley is giving him another match at the Royal Rumble, and he's putting Chris in a shark cage.
Yeah, in a shark cage. Have me hanging there like a sexy pinata, like 100 feet in the air.
Chris,
it's he's not got 100 feet.
I know, but he's got a fear of heights. He's got acrophobia, so it's...
I thought it was arachnophobia.
It's both!
You told me you...
It's both! Okay, what's next? Is Foley going to put spiders in the cage as I'm hanging 200 feet in the air? You know what's going to happen if he does that? I'm going to break out with pimples and blemishes and hives. I could get acne, arachnophobia. Okay? Do you know how rare that is? Do you know how rare it is?
Can't you see what it's doing? He's not even making
any sense. It's driving me crazy!
He's not even making any sense.
In my mind, that one's going to be tough to beat as a great promo. It had comedy, it had drama, it had things to sell the pay-per-view. Let's look back at some of the things that happened in 2016. Not a best of, just a look back.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy. Get ready for the big paper.
It's time to take out the trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Here we are looking back at 2016 on Turnbuckle Trash. Ajay joins me right now. And Deuce, we're going to talk a little bit about what you thought was the feud of the year and then the match of the year. What did you pick?
Mine was really tough. In fact, I remember about a few days ago asking you, what makes a good feud? And, you gave me some great examples of the past. Some of the even of the present. I really liked AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho, and more of it's just it leans on from the WrestleMania match they had. It was, in my opinion, maybe in some others as well, it was probably the match of the night in that WrestleMania. They have a very good wrestling style that brings excitement because they're both athletic. They both can create. Or I guess they both can improv without killing each other, if you will.
Right.
And just in AJ Styles' history with the WWE and Chris Jericho's definitely, I feel like they're both kind of bitter with chips on their shoulder.
That's
probably my feud of the year.
That really put AJ kind of over, that in his feud with John Cena for a while. Those two really put AJ over with fans, don't you think?
Chris is really good at doing that. In fact, if you look at his past wrestling matches, he's done that quite a few times of putting guys over. And so as much credit as you might give AJ, I think Chris deserves a lot of it.
Yeah, I do too. And then I gotta say this. I have never been a big Chris Jericho fan until the last 6 months of the year. This work he's doing with Kevin Owens and the Best Friends and stuff they're doing right now, I absolutely love that storyline. And Jericho with his stupid idiot and the list, I think he just knocks it out of the park with that. It's awesome.
Yeah. I've always been a Chris Jericho fan, so I could be biased in this conversation. But yeah, no, I think his last 6 months in work has probably been some of his best ever in his career. And that's saying something to see some of his work he's done in the past.
I think a future well-deserved WWE Hall of Famer, too. So joining me on the phone right now, looking back at 2016, is Mr. Zane Peterson. How you doing, Zane?
So why don't you tell everybody why I have to be on the phone with you?
Let's not. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, fine, then I'll tell him. Do you want me to tell him? I'll tell him.
You tell.
Okay, everybody, we had the best podcast recorded. Done.
Yeah.
It was going to go down in history as being a record. And guess what Dave did? He lost it. He butt fumbled.
I done a bad thing.
You butt fumbled. Butt fumbled.
I did, didn't I?
Let's just get right to it. 2016 was a pretty good year for professional wrestling. What do you call it? What do they call it in the South? Don't they call it wrestling?
Pro wrestling? Yeah, wrestling.
Isn't that what you call it?
Yes. That's what I grew up calling it,
So if I were to ask you the question of all questions about 2016, what would be your answer? But first, you need to know the question.
Yeah, I would need to know the question before I can answer anything.
Who was your favorite superstar of 2016?
You know, is AJ Styles.
I will concur with you on that. You know, AJ's matches, he just brings out the best in everybody, I think. He is just a class act performer that brings the best out of anybody. I mean, some of those matches with John Cena were good, great matches. And with Dean Ambrose, great matches. I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, ever since I saw him way back when TNA first started coming out, I always thought he had a little something extra about him and the way he performed. But it seemed the time that he turned heel when Ric Flair was there. And Ric Flair, I don't know how much behind the scenes and all that stuff. But here was this smaller wrestler, not necessarily one of the big brutes, that was the heel. And I thought he really came into his own as a performer at that point.
When he went over to New Japan, I it's hard to keep up on New Japan in our area. I mean, you have to watch it online, and you can find it in certain places. But I kind of lost touch with what was going on. But you know, he was always one of my favorites in TNA. Mm-hmm. Always.
When he says he's the champ that runs the camp, I don't disbelieve him because. I just think he's great. So
he's fantastic. So next question.
Okay,
what's your answer?
My answer is send Dave money.
So next question I was thinking of. How would you say it? Breakout star? Who would you say made the most impact? No pun intended, in 2016. Maybe somebody that you didn't really like, or somebody that you just weren't really... Somebody that made a huge splash in 2016.
I'm probably going to shock some people when I say this, because you either love him or you hate him. But I'm going...
I think we're in agreement on this one. I think we're in agreement on this
the
one.
You're going to say Miz.
Oh, just
is he
awesome.
Yeah, he is. Awesome. Just his work alone when he was with Damian Sandow was great. But then they kind of changed that character up a little bit when they got rid of the stunt double, which was more comedy than anything. Then he started being that great heel. And then they brought Maurice in with him. And some of the work that he did with Dolph Ziggler this past year, some of the best wrestling of the year. If I had to sit down and say that was, I would say that was the feud of the year, Dolph and Miz.
Do you realize the Miz is, I mean, he's been mid to upper card performer for, 15 plus years, or mm-hmm. close to 15 years. I don't know if plus is the right word, but I know he's been going on 15 years with no injuries.
That's true. That's big time, especially with what happened.
That's something to think about. You remember when he did Talking Smack or with that promo with Daniel Bryan, that was the best promo of the year, I think.
Oh, you know what? I would say that, too. The best work, I think, of his entire career was when they were doing that Talking Smack segment. And he went off
on Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Wasn't that just great?
I loved every minute of that. I think I even contacted you the next day or texted you or something and said, you have got to see this.
And I will tell you that I am so glad to see The Miz back up in the spotlight, because I don't know what happened after, WrestleMania 27 when he
beat John Cena?
Yeah.
At Mania? Yeah.
That was a good feud.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty good match, too, when he... they had some real high spots up on the ramp, and then all of a sudden he lost the title and he disappeared. Whatever happened, I know that there's a lot of drama in the WWE, and now they've got him in the title picture. I think that's fantastic.
I do too. You know what might have happened? Let's just go back, and this is just strictly from memory at this time. It might have had something to do with none other Mr. Randy Orton. Because Randy Orton was set to star in Marine 2. Remember this? Randy was going to be in Marine 2, and then when the U.S. Armed Forces really started looking at this and remembered that Randy was in the Armed Forces, and I can't remember which one, and he went AWOL.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did, and that's why they went with The Miz in Marine 2. And then he's done several movies, so I'm wondering if that had something to do with it. They had him so busy doing the movies that that he didn't have the they were using him more in that aspect. And he's always been up front with doing a lot of TV interviews and radio station interviews and things like that when they go around. He's been one of their go-to guys. So I'm wondering if that had something to do with that instead of maybe backstage politics, but I don't know. But I'm glad to see him back now, and I think I told you on the last pod I'm going to be looking for a Miz T-shirt. I got to find one now because I'm a fan. Okay, I'm going to ask you. Thinking back, what would you consider the match of the year? The one.
Oh, I don't even have to think. I don't even have to think about that. I can name it spot on for you. I probably watched it. I know I've watched at least three times, and I've watched the shortened version of it two times. And that was Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, and it was a Japan event. That's my match of the year, hands down. Yeah, it was like 37 minutes long or something crazy like that. But it got a lot of criticism saying that it was too acrobatic and too. Dude, some of the stuff that they were doing in there were like, you know, the moves off the top rope, and I don't care if it was choreographed. I don't care, whatever, dude. That stuff was good.
Well, you remember.
It was really good.
You remember Jim Cornette was the one that did the biggest criticism of it, and also Vader was very critical of it. Jim Cornette, who has a brilliant mind for, you know, professional wrestling, but I can't hardly listen to him anymore. I'm just going to say because he cusses every other word. I'm not averse to saying a couple of expletives myself, but not every other word. Come on, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm not the type to get offended by it, but every once in a while it's like, come on, dude, use another word.
Anyway, that led to that match with Vader and Ospreay, which Vader won, which I was going, why? And then I actually saw Ospreay in ROH this past weekend. He's in Ring of Honor now.
Good for him.
So that now that we've asked Zane and we've also asked Juice of their match of the year, I got to tell you my match of the year. It goes back to Lucha Underground. It was Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Chavo Guerrero. They had a loser leaves Lucha match that I thought was absolutely incredible. Now, I've said a few times that less is more sometimes in professional wrestling. This match lasted about 15 minutes. It was set up as Chavo Guerrero against Rey Mysterio, and the loser would have to leave the Lucha Underground program. Well, they do the match, and they're in the ring, and it's going really great. And then you see in the audience Chavo Guerrero Sr., and I thought that was really interesting that they tied Chavo Sr. into this match. They threw Chavo out into the I think it was Chavo out into the audience, or maybe it was Ray, and he bumped into Chavo Sr. Well, Chavo Sr. gets up in the ring and grabs a chair, a steel chair, and Ray's begging off, don't do this, don't swing the chair, don't hit me with the chair. And he didn't hit Ray. He turned around and walloped Chavo Jr. right in the back. Well, you got to remember, this was a loser leaves Lucha match. So at that point, Rey Mysterio was the loser because of outside interference. And the crowd is just going crazy. You got to love this kind of stuff. The twist that the crowd didn't see and I didn't see. Then another twist comes in when Dario Cuoto comes out from his office and saying, no, this is not going to happen, not in his temple, as he calls it. And he turns around and says, no disqualification, and starts the match over. It didn't last much longer after that. Chavo and Chavo Jr. and Sr. get in position on the ropes for Ray's move, the 619. Ray wins. Chavo Guerrero is out of Lucha Underground. I loved it. Loved it. It was awesome.
That was my match of the year.
Whack. You can have whack-a, flack-a.
Woo!
Whack-a, whack-a, flack-a. Whack-a, flack-a. Whack-a, flack-a.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Make America woo again.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
2016, we're looking back on some of the biggest stories of the year that we really see that really shaped professional wrestling during the year of 2016. And one of those I wanted to specifically talk to Ajay about because he's such a fan of what used to be termed the Divas. Now it's just women's wrestling, women's superstars.
Here's a question for our listeners. Who's the bigger bandwagon jumper, Golden State Warrior fans or Dave Denton to the Divas wagon?
Now,
think about it.
I criticized them a lot in early 2016 and in 2015, not because they weren't talented. I've always liked women wrestlers, but I thought the storylines they were given and the time they were given on TV was just terrible. Now, as far as the Divas TV shows on ETV, I never have been a big fan.
Oh, well, welcome to the wagon. You know what we need to do? We need to have a Divas, because they're going to have a Divas Marathon, I think, coming up. And when they do, Dave.
On ETV?
You and I need to dress up in some, like, bunny suits with Zane and have a tea party and watch every Total Bellas episode we can get and watch Total Divas.
Bunny costumes?
Yeah, bunny. No, pink bunny costumes.
Are they left over from Adam Rose?
Don't forget the tea party. We need the tea party.
Oh, we need the tea party. Okay, fine. No, I don't think that will
happen. Yummy in my tummy.
But really, women's wrestling in general, I mean, don't you think the WWE has, they had this this women's movement earlier in the year, and they let the ladies take over, and they did it. Congratulations to them, especially in the WWE.
You know, here's a good way to put it. You look at, like, the Slammy Awards, right?
Right.
And they always feature, I mean, well, now they feature 4 to 5 divas.
That's
back
great.
In, say, geez, 08, 09, 2010, they didn't even have really a lot of options. They just picked one diva. But now they have options. There's the Bella, there's Naomi, there's Paige, or there was Paige. I mean, back then, and there's a point where AJ Lee was definitely the top of the crop in regards to divas. So now they have options, and that said a whole lot.
When they brought in the talent from the NXT, that's when things really came into fruition for especially the WWE women's division. I am just shocked at how well they've done. The Hell in the Cell match between Charlotte and Sasha was absolutely phenomenal. And then Becky Lynch, she's always such a steady performer. And they're just giving them real storylines and real chances to perform, which they weren't doing before. Just quickly, I wanted to turn it over to TNA Impact just real quick because Gail Kim looks like she's at the end of her career. Gail Kim has been the knockouts driving force for TNA. And for several years, I thought as a wrestling fan, the knockouts in TNA were far superior to what the product was on WWE television. So, Gail Kim, what a wonderful career she's had. And she belongs in the Hall of Fame. She was put in the TNA Hall of Fame, but she belongs in every kind of wrestling Hall of Fame there ever is. And I hope they can work it out to where she will be in the WWE Hall of Fame in the near future.
If she doesn't, I'd say that's a crime.
I would, too. I mean, she did really great in WWE, but she ran with the ball when she was given it in TNA, so that'd be awesome. What about the television prominence of Total Bellas and Total Divas? You got me watching these things, and I got to say they're entertaining but also aggravating to me. I do watch them, but
Why are they aggravating you?
Yeah.
Tell me what you like and you dislike about it.
Okay, I'll tell you what I like when they do the backstories about what's going on for the performance in professional wrestling. And then I also like some of the personal stories behind the scenes. you know, with the Bella's mom with her cancer scare, and then the struggles with Daniel Bryant with the concussion syndrome and him just struggling with depression. I thought that was fascinating stuff behind the scenes. What I don't like is the kind of setup situations they get put in where they go out and get totally bombed and, you know, for no apparent reason. And then they, it just seems set up sometimes. But I do like the behind the scenes stuff. I like some of the personal stories, but when it's kind of set up to start with some of the, try to start friction between the divas themselves or the ladies, that I don't like. I'll give you a quick example. Maryse on Total Divas this season, okay, the Miz's wife. That scene where she is at an event and her mom calls her from her home and they have video footage of somebody trying to break into Miz and Maryse's home with her mom there alone absolutely scared me to death thinking that something was going to happen to Maryse's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of a setup, Eva Marie takes Maryse to a gun range and Maryse buys a gun without the Miz knowing. I don't know if Maryse does that a lot, but it seems set up to me.
Do you by chance buy guns without me knowing? And if so, what's the spending limit?
It seems like they put her in a situation, whether she made the decision of her own, but put her in the situation to have some friction between she and her husband. And that's the part I don't like, the stuff that kind of seems, almost written.
The Total Bellas, start off so hot in regards to like ratings and viewings, and then they just took a huge hit towards the middle of October, towards the end of it. They dropped, and they were kind of dropping. In regards of the viewership, they're ranked, 14th or even 14th out of 29 shows. So they're sitting in the middle of the pack for a while. What I loved about the Total Bellas is the reality of what we saw in Daniel Bryan. And the struggles he's going through. And I got to be careful how I say that. I don't love what Daniel Bryan is going through. I love that they showed it, though. They gave us the inside look. Because we don't know. We don't understand. We have no idea what these guys, go through after. And to see what Daniel Bryan went through and to see his much better half fellow take care of him the way she did was really cool. Everyone views John Cena as this incredible man, and he is to an extent. He does all the make-a-wish things, and the way he's able to help kids, and the way he brings fans into the match, whether they hate him or love him. But then we also see the bad side of him, and he can be an absolute punk at times too.
He seemed that way, didn't he? He was.
No! He didn't seem that way. He is that way.
Yeah,
you know,
very controlling,
sure,
and
the way he acts towards Daniel Bryan or towards family or such, you see that, and so you know it.
Almost a superiority complex,
If you don't think that's real, then you're out of your mind.
Right,
so.
Yeah. But I still love his work. I got to say that.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I'm not disgracing his work by any means. I think he's incredible at it, and I think what he does in regards of the Make-A-Wish stuff is amazing. He's done it more than any other request in Make-A-Wish Foundation history, so that says a lot about him. What I didn't like, I felt like some of it was fake. I'm a huge Bachelor fan, right? I love The Bachelor. Uh-huh. Follow me on Twitter at AJAYSALVY, Audrey Salvy, and you can find out how much I love The Bachelor. And I feel like Total Bellas, and especially Total Divas, has some fakeness to it. I feel like some of it's even scripted.
And if
you're going to script it, don't throw it out there for the world to see. At least try to put some effort into acting again. I felt like a lot of it was, not a lot of it, but just wasn't a fan of it.
Yeah.